If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to the oldest book of the Bible. And that's not Genesis. The oldest book of the Bible is a book called Job. He was a contemporary with Noah. This is after the flood. Job chapter 1. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God, and he stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. And he employed many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Now, folks, between that third verse that we just read and the 14th verse of that chapter, there is a dialogue that takes place between God and our enemy, Satan. The topic of that conversation is Job and his faithful commitment to God. Satan makes the glaring accusation that Job would curse God if God would only take away Job's blessings. God permits Satan to test him, but not to take his life. So the ultimate true test of Job's character and faith begins. And 11 verses later, in verse 14, it says, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them, and when the Sabaeans raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. 3 bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and your daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. In God's presence, I felt led to share this message with this church today. I just want to preach to you about why me? Why me? Would you lift your hands? Would you just ask God to speak to you today? Hallelujah. Pastor Brownie, would you pray right now? Hallelujah. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, you talk about having a bad day. For Job, this was a day of absolute devastation. Not knowing or understanding that this was but a test. Severe as it was devised by the enemy of his soul. I wonder, Rehoboth, saints of God, people of the name, have any of you ever had a why me moment in your life? Can I see hands? Huh? I believe if we're honest, every one of us has spoken those two words probably more than once. Why me when the government shut down our church services? Why me when it seems that every aspect of vision and outreach have been thwarted? Why me when the doctor's diagnosis was not what you had hoped for or expected? Why me when someone has hurt you deeply or failed you miserably? Why me when the layoffs of your secular job are announced and you received one of the notices? Guess that doesn't happen right now. Why me when what you expected to be a blessing seemingly becomes a curse? Why me? And the list can go on and on and on. Yes, this is the message for this afternoon. Why me? I would say that for the patriarch Job on that particular day that we just read about, when he was told that all of his oxen and donkeys were stolen, that his servants were slain, and when he was told that fire fell from the sky and consumed all his sheep and their shepherds, and that all his camels were stolen and their keepers were killed, and then came the worst news of all. The dagger, if you please, when he was told about his own children. Killed as a mighty wind swept through the house where they were in, and the structure fell upon them. Four messages of doom and destruction and loss. Brothers and sisters, I believe if anyone could have lifted up their hands to heaven and said, why me, it could have been Job. Especially when God himself spoke these words about him in Job chapter 2 and verse 3. This is God's testimony about Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I ask you this afternoon, where were you? What was your circumstance when you threw up your hands and lifted up your head and said, why me, Lord? Then perhaps out of your own mouth came out the follow-up phrase, what have I done to deserve this? Hello? Brothers and sisters, so many times our why me moments are spoken during our lowest hour. During our most difficult of times. These are moments that are usually associated with the negativities of life. Now, I don't surprise anybody in here has any negativities of life. I know better. Perhaps some of you during these last 15 months have uttered these two words. As life has seemingly been uncertain for you and your family. For in our lifetime, church, we have never experienced anything quite like this before. Hello? It seems like the bottom just dropped out. How about you? Our culture and our society are changing at a fast rate of speed. Our government seems to be rapidly changing into a form far different than what we have ever known, failing with no hope in sight. And all of this affects each and every one of us. But listen, brothers and sisters, the Bible is full of situations where God's people faced hardships and disappointments that they had no control over and had to endure. Everybody say endure. In the Old Testament, we read about the prophet Jonah. Much more than just a catchy Sunday school story. He was a real man. He was a man of God. He was serving the same God that you and I are serving right now. But yet at the beginning of that prophet, of that book, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me." Now, I'm sure when God spoke this to Jonah, that he immediately stated, or at least thought, why me? I say that because of the obvious actions that Jonah took. For Jonah did the exact opposite of what the Lord had just told him to do. I would love to report to you this afternoon, amen, that I personally have always did exactly what the Lord has told me to do. But the truth is, like Jonah, I too have tried to run from some divine directions. Hello? Why? Why would Jonah run? Why would he jeopardize innocent sailors' lives on board a ship? Why would he be so adamant about his rebellious direction that it would cause him to be thrown overboard? Well, church, Bible history tells us, and it brings to light, that Jonah's immediate family had been killed by the people of Nineveh. So now, the very ones that had caused him great sorrow and grief, God no less was now instructing him to go to them and warn them of their imminent destruction. More than likely, this would have been Job's justification for why me? Why should they be spared when they had no mercy on my own? Folks, I want all of you to know and realize that in Jonah's rebellious act, Jonah could have drowned in the belly of that great fish. I know we call it a whale. I don't know if it was a whale or not. All I know is the Bible's specific that he created that great fish. That may have been the only one that he ever created. Hello? And it was to fit Jonah's situation. My friend, God forbid that God has to create some test or something that literally swallows us up. Amen. Because we will not obey his word in our lives. He could have suffocated and drowned, but he didn't. No, he lived to record it. He lived to write about it. To benefit who? You and I. For his story speaks of God's abundant mercy. And he wrote, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. During his fate with destruction, Jonah remembered the Lord. How many times in our own lives, church, when push comes to shove, we had to shake ourselves and realize in our misery, in our defeat, amen, that God is still in control. Brothers and sisters, if there is ever a time, if there is ever a time for us to put our focus totally on our Lord Jesus, it is right now. If there was ever a time when we needed to come together in unity, it is right now. Saints of the living God, we need to refocus once again and turn our eyes upon Jesus. Amen. You know why? Because Jonah also wrote, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Sure, church, we can all believe the lies that our enemy may flood our thoughts with. Just turn on the news today. It's filled with them. Trying to divide us. Trying to put us against each other. Even in the church house, don't let that spirit get into the church house. Do you hear me? Don't let that spirit get into the church house. You know, yes, sure, all of us, we can take matters into our own hands without any regards to the consequences of our actions. We can believe the enemy's lies and be damned. Or we can remember the Lord. For Jonah said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I remember when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I remember when God put me in his body, the church. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation, everybody say salvation. Say it again. Is of the Lord. Church, this world is not going to save us. Our government is not going to save us. Amen. Our money and bank accounts are not going to save us. But I'll tell you who's going to save us. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, is going to save us. Church, instead of focusing on the negative, Jonah began to praise and began to offer thanksgiving. And while still engulfed in the belly of his turmoil. And when he finally submitted, listen to this, don't miss this. When he finally submitted his will for God's will, then verse 10 says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Brothers and sisters, I don't stand here this afternoon and proclaim that I understand all of what is and happening or is happening across our country or even the world. But I do know this, that Almighty God stated through his prophet Isaiah, he said this, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall, everybody say it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Church, the great commission of Christ Jesus is still intact. Our Lord's words still ring out loud and clear. Go! Brothers and sisters, why me? Now listen carefully. Why me is not always about the negative. Though God's way didn't make sense to Jonah, yet he humbled himself and did what God asked of him to do. And through Jonah's submission, God literally spared a city of thousands from destruction. Church, during the time of persecution of the early church, of the early believers in Jerusalem, when the religious Pharisee, ever heard of this guy? Saul of Tarsus, who was seeking out all that who professed Jesus Christ as Messiah. How do you think, we're bringing it up to our speed, how do you think Ananias of Damascus must have felt while praying to Jesus? And the Lord spoke to him and said, Ananias! And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord! And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. At that very moment, I'm sure it came across Ananias' mind. Why me? Why me, Lord? How do I think that? Because in verse 13 it says, Lord, this is Ananias speaking, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord informed Ananias that he was going to use Saul of Tarsus, even though he had persecuted believers, even though he had beaten them and watched as others were tortured and killed. I am sure in Ananias' mind, like many of us, would have thought, well, now how can God use such a one like this? Hello? Am I telling you the truth? How many times have you looked at somebody that you knew did some awful evil in their life and you think, well, I don't know that God could ever save them. My friend, don't you ever underestimate our God and the power of His mercy and the power of His grace. I'm telling you, God can change anybody. God can change anybody. He can change a drug addict into a preacher. He can change a homosexual into a preacher. He can change a man, anybody. But Ananias, here's the key. He obeyed. Turn to your neighbor and say, he obeyed. And he went and he prayed for Saul. And we know that Saul regained his sight and was baptized, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And as we all know, Saul of Tarsus became a mighty apostle of Jesus Christ, who was anointed by God's Spirit, who wrote 28% of the New Testament, which we cherish. Listen, church, For all of us that have allowed these words of why me to slip through our own lips in a negative way, don't miss this. Shouldn't we just take a pause, a time out, and take a good look at ourselves right now? Look into the rearview mirror of God's word right this moment. Brothers and sisters, we need to revisit and realize the turn of events that has happened in our own lives. Since our first encounter with Christ. Brothers and sisters, have you ever considered that after all of what you and I did in our lifetime, the sins that you and I have committed, the literal filth of our own lives prior to receiving the grace of Jesus Christ, when we consider all of the junk that we have been through in our own lives, and don't act sanctimonious, because I'll tell you, the Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Shouldn't all of us be asking the Lord, why me, Lord? With all that I've ever done, why me, God? Did you choose me to be saved? Why would he allow us to be a part of his body, the church? Why would he allow us to be in a position of leadership in this body, the church? Why would he allow me to be a praise singer? Why would he allow me to be a musician? Why would he allow me to play the drums? Why would he allow me to sit in a church pew? Why would he allow me, amen, to go down a street and be thinking and praising and worshiping Almighty God? I tell you, God, I don't know. I don't know if I, when I look back, I know the Bible tells us, don't look back. But when I see the John Putnam that he used to be to what now God has made me, I'll tell you, I just say, why me, God? And then the next phrase, Lord, what did we ever do to deserve this? What did we ever do to deserve this? We did nothing. He did everything. That was the Apostle Paul's response. Because he wrote to the Corinthian church in chapter 15 and verse 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet, which means not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But here is the answer, church, found in verse 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Church of the living God, I know people can come in and they can walk out. Nobody's forcing you to be here today. Nobody has a ball and chain on you with a threat in your life, amen, about being here. You're here out of your own free will. I'm here out of my own free will. But I'll tell you, I didn't deserve this, church. I didn't deserve this. But I thank God. I thank God. I remembered the Lord. Look around this room right now. Look at where you are today. The answer is simple. We didn't deserve Jesus Christ. His grace in our lives is the gift of God. Look how far you have come by his tender mercies and grace in your life and ministry. Lord have mercy. Did we deserve this? Are you kidding me? Have we somehow earned this? Oh, but God, I pay my tithes. I try to present holiness. I try to. Are we working our way to salvation? No, my friend. God is working in us to be saved. Do we deserve these blessings that we have ever received? We're not, these blessings are not predicated upon what we've done. No, all along it has been about what He has done. So, Jason, I don't know if you're in the room right now. But I'm telling you, Jason, everybody's important to God. Everybody is important to God. Turn to your neighbor right now, look him in the eye and say, you're important. You are important. Do you realize that this scripture is in the New Testament in the Gospel of John? John 15, verse 16, Jesus' words. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we didn't choose him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He chose us. No, you and I have never deserved his mercy. We have never deserved his goodness and grace. That is why I believe that we all can lift up our hands right now and say, why me, Lord? Go ahead. Why me, Lord? You see, he saved each of us for a distinct purpose. Are you listening? You and I are to go and make disciples. If you think that God died so that we could just come together once a week and just praise God and then go about our merry business, that is not why God put you in these pews. God put you in this body, the church, for you to go into the highways and the byways and the stores and the schools and your neighborhoods. Amen. You know what one thing that COVID has tried to do? It's trying to shut down conversation with everybody. That they're afraid to talk. They're afraid to share. My friend, the Church of the Living God, you need to understand what your purpose is. If you're wondering why me, I'm telling you, this is the why me. You are to go forth into a world, no bad how bad it is, and to proclaim the victory of Jesus Christ in your life. We are to be his witnesses. We are to tell our story about his story, expressing to others about the glory of Jesus Christ, while they themselves might be steeped in their negative, why me moments. Church, there are people all around us right now that are hurting. People are wondering and asking, what is happening? What's going on? Brothers and sisters, you don't know what might happen the next time when you witness to someone. We don't know who he or she may be or what they might become in God's kingdom. You certainly didn't know what the Almighty had in store for you. Anybody remember, this will date us. Does anybody ever remember a university in Ohio named Kent State?
Anybody know what happened at Kent State University? Brother Brownie, stand up and tell them all what happened at Kent State University. There was a protest for the Vietnam War. And the National Guard did what? They shot four students that were rioting on the Kent State campus. Sister Putnam, would you please stand up? Would you look at this congregation? She was there the day before protesting. Sister Putnam? Hey, folks, you don't know how God's going to use someone. You don't know what God's going to do. Because, you see, you don't know everybody's heart, no matter how bad it looks for them, or how strung out they are, or how drunk they may be. I'm telling you, God can cure the situation in one powerful prayer. God, I tell you, He wants us to have those "why me" and get out there and to reach the lost. Church, the hour of uncertainty is not about us. It's all about His purpose. Thank you, Job. Listen to me. Thank you, Job, for showing us the way. In the midst of your "why me" moment, you showed us how to obey. Thank you, Jonah. You obeyed. Thank you, Ananias. You obeyed. Thank you, Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. You obeyed. Why don't we lift up our hands, church, and lift up our voices right now and say, God, I'm asking you, God, use me, God. Everybody stand with me right now, would you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Why me, God? Why me, God? Why me, God? Why me? What was it that God spoke to Moses? What was it that God spoke to Moses at the burning bush? When God gave him direct instructions to what he was to do. God spoke to him that he was to deliver God's people from the bondage of Egypt. And what was Moses' response? In so many words, why me? This is what is written that he said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Church, do you realize that that meeting, listen, do you realize that at that meeting at the burning bush between God and Moses was 80 years in the making? And yet we expect everything to happen now. But my Bible tells me they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not faint. From the moment that Moses was born, God had a plan for his life. And can I tell you, yes, you, my friend, there is not one person in the sound of my voice that doesn't have a divine purpose in God's kingdom. God has been with you since you were born. I don't know what God saw in me. I wasn't a good kid. But as bad as I was, I can remember being out on a Kentucky hillside, out in a pasture, picking clover and killing ants and then having the funeral for the ants. I can remember when I was such a know-it-all. Playing Superman. Some people still try to play that. Do you know that? I had a cape around my neck. It was probably tied about 10 times in a knot. And at that time, now I'm talking about ages ago, we were able to still burn trash in our backyards. Anybody remember those days? And I took that cape, Brother Brownie, 10 knots around my neck. I took that cape. Well, you talk about being stupid. I was stupid. And I took that cape and put it in the fire and then took it back out and said, I'm Superman. And I started once again flying around the backyard. And all of a sudden, poof, I had a propeller going on behind me. And it was fastly approaching my back, this flame. I could have burned to death. Except for a neighbor named June Davis came out and grabbed the back of that thing and jerked it. She could have broken my neck. But thankfully it let loose. Why didn't I die? What situation have you been in your life that could have killed you? Could have taken you? And it didn't. And you know that you should have been dead. I'll tell you why. God has a divine purpose for you in His kingdom. With every eye closed, God has been with you since you were born. He knows your failures. He knows all of your faults. He even knows your sins. But He also knew when you and I would turn our life over to Him. Fellow strugglers, all of us might be asking right now, why me? Well, I'll tell you why. Because He has a plan for each of us that only you can fulfill. Only you can identify what I'm talking about right now. I'm asking to someone in this room right now who feels that there is no hope. To someone who is hurting deeply in your soul. To someone whose entire future seems to be in jeopardy. To someone who might be ready to throw in the towel. To someone who is searching. Can I testify to you, amen, that God has His hand upon your life, or you would not even be in this room today. It was one request from my cousin who came to me at Ojai University as a junior in college, an absolute derelict, and asked me if I would like to go to a prayer meeting. This lady was coming down to visit me that weekend. I've testified this before, but this is my story. I told my cousin, I said, well, Judy, I'll ask Joanne, but that's the last place we'd be on a Saturday night, is in a prayer meeting. And when she showed up, and I asked her, and I said, so how would you like to go to a prayer meeting tomorrow night? And she said, yeah. And I said, what? And we went. We went on January the 15th, 1971. 7 hours took place in that prayer meeting. I thought eternity had begun. I could have walked out at any moment, but I recognized these people had something that I didn't have and that I needed. And on about 2 in the morning on January the 16th, 1971, this is our 50th year of having the Holy Ghost. Are you interested in knowing why me for you? Then why don't you come down here and ask him right now. Why don't you come down and seek him? Amen. Not just another altar call, but come down here and ask your God. Lord, I know you saved me. Amen. I know you saved me. But praise God. Amen. Why me? Lift up your hands. Lift up your voices. Amen to him. I'm telling you, he loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He put his stamp on your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And all we want is more of him. All we want is more of him. Because I'll tell you, when he enters the picture, everything changes. Everything begins to turn around. Everything begins to become brighter. Amen. God's blessings begin to flow. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands right now. Lift up your hands right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Come on, church.